Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, America? What's up? What's up?
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
We already got JQ. He's already hot. Here we go.
Oh, yeah. That's that Cena right there. That's that 5
yeah,
number.
Yeah, yeah. Kick off talking sports with 12 men. We got a special night. So without further ado, we always like to kick it off like we do today. Of course, it's a Thursday. It's a special night. It is February the 19th. You are talking sports with 12 men. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by a little special host here. Number one, we got my main man, Mr. Robert Ford. And we got a new guy joining us. We got Jaquan Jenkins. We're going to call him JQ tonight. First and foremost, we got to kick it off. Rob Ford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing
I'm
great,
doing, good.
Doing great.
On,
want to apologize to our listeners with a couple of night delay, but we're here ready to talk some sports tonight.
Gotcha. And we got a new guy joining us. Obviously, we want to talk to him, Mr. JQ. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing good. My bad, Rob. I thought he was talking to me first. My fault. I'm doing good. Glad to be here with y'all.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Man, like you said, no worries. We're going to have a fun time like we always do. And hopefully you can hear me, JQ, too. I know we're kind of in different areas, but that's what we do. We have some fun. For always, if you want to join in and call on the show, we're going to throw out a couple numbers. And I think, Rob, like you said, I think we had to apologize for the late night. I think Rob is partying too much for Mardi Gras. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
A little bit of that. A little bit. I was traveling and had been gone for like 8 or 9 days too. For a little bit of that, and wasn't able to really put together some notes and for the show and things of that nature. So, want to apologize once again to our listeners, but we're ready to go now.
No apologies, actually. Like I said, JQ, if you didn't know, sir, I'm the jokester of the bunch. But we always keep it real too. But real quick, if you want to call on the show, we got a couple ways to follow us. Go ahead, sir. We're going to throw out like we always do. If you want to call on the show, the number to call is 424-243-9519. Once again, that's 424-243-9519. We're also available via the Twitter world. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsports12man or 12 Man Sports, you'll be able to follow us. All that good jazz. So without further ado, man, let's go ahead and get started. We got a lot of topics to talk about. I'm going to kind of throw it to both of you guys. But, man, what a flurry of moves for the NBA trade deadline. I think it kind of started off small. What a flurry of moves. Rob, what do you think about, what do you think about all the moves that kind of happened? You want to kind of comment real quick, sir?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the team I thought that came out really good in this deal with the Portland Trailblazers acquiring Aaron Aflalo. I think that really pushed them in championship contention in the Western Conference right there with Golden State. Another scorer to go with LaMarcus Aldridge, Damian Lillard. And, of course, when they get Nick Batum healthy, I think that gives them a solid team. I think I like the move with the Miami Heat getting Goran Dragic as well. If they can pair him with a healthy Dwayne Wade, Lou Alding, and Chris Bosh, I think you're looking at a solid team that can possibly improve their footing there in the Eastern Conference as well. I think those are the two teams that I like the most, but there were a lot of small deals, of course. Oklahoma City getting Enes Kanter from the Jazz. Kevin Garnett going back to Minnesota. How you like that? Looked like he's going to end his career with the T-Wolves back where he started. So that should be interesting. The Brooklyn Nets. Again, Thaddeus Young, 76ers against JaVale McKee. But my question is, what are the 76ers doing? Why are you trading Michael Carter-Williams, the best player on the team, to the Milwaukee Bucks for virtually nothing?
We're going to talk about that.
I can tell you why, because I do. They're tanking. It's full-on tank mode, and he was getting too good, and he's going to make them win too many games, so they shipped him out.
How many years is he going to take?
That's the point, though. I mean, but you got to like the 76ers, though, because they picked up JaVale McGee for nothing and got a first-round pick out of it. All they did was absorb his contract into their cap space. So they have a plan. We just can't, I guess, see what the ultimate end goal is, but I think that's what it is that I don't think he was with the tank and he was ready to be gone.
Wow. Well, but, going to Milwaukee Bucks, yeah. Of course, Jason Kidd really loves him. And of course, the Milwaukee Bucks gave up Brandon Knight to Phoenix to make room for Michael Carter Williams. So Jason Kidd is a big fan of his game. Also, Milwaukee also acquired Tyler Ennis as well to back him up as well. Boston getting Isaiah Thomas from Phoenix. Detroit getting Reggie Jackson from OKC. So a flurry of moves, as Andre mentioned. Even my Pelicans getting Norris Cole from the Miami Heat. So Andre Miller going to Sacramento, Raymond Sessions going to Washington. But as I mentioned, I don't know if you guys have any highlights, but I like Portland and Miami as being the two winners on this trading day.
What do you think, JQ?
I don't know.
Any thoughts about what's happened? Yeah, what do you think about that? Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I do. I think that Oklahoma City is a bigger winner than I think you may be giving them credit for, because if you can flip Reggie Jackson, who wants to leave, and an old, decrepit Kendrick Perkins and get younger with cancer and also bring in space, you know, shooters and space providers and Novak and Augustine and who's the other guy, Singler. I think that could be big for them because you add them to Westbrook and Durant and to Ibaka. I like that. I like that a lot for them to move up. And I think they just made Golden State real nervous looking for that first round. If they get to the A seed and Golden State's in the one seed, that's a tough way to start the Western Conference playoffs. But I will agree with you on the Miami move. I'm surprised they ended up giving two first-round picks, knowing that Dragic can walk away for Phoenix after 3 months, you know, when the season is over. Why not just get him for free? But I think it helps them a lot, too. And in that Eastern Conference, does Cleveland really want to be the second seed now? Because they'll probably get Miami, and that's another very interesting first-round matchup in the East. So my top two would be those. And the other ones, I think, is kind of, you know, not garbage in, garbage out, but, I mean, I think it's more middling. I do like Portland getting a Flalo, but he's been shooting horrible this year. And would you take a Flalo and Lillard and Aldridge over the other top three scorers in the top half of the Western Conference? I'm not quite sure.
Well, I do like the move of OKC getting DJ Augustin. One of the things I would like about that, I like Russell Westbrook more when he plays off the ball, and DJ Augustin gives him the opportunity to play off the ball some. And so I think that could definitely help OKC.
I agree. And I think the time is now for them, because not signing Harden and saying you don't want to go over the tax line and then making all these moves, it's going to, I think, put them right at the tax line or maybe a little over it. You know, I think this is a kind of a makeup day for them after messing up the Harden deal. And they have to make this work. If it doesn't work, I don't know necessarily where they go from here, where Harden is scoring 40 points to Houston tonight. You know, they got to do something.
You know, and I love it. I would kind of bring things back to the forefront. You know, it seems like all these teams are making moves because they're in that final push. A couple of teams are kind of realizing, you know, like you said about Golden State, you know, they're realizing it'll get a little scared here. OKC made some moves to kind of like balance a couple of things out. I agree with you guys that 76ers, they're in tank mode. But interesting enough, we're going to talk about some other things like Carmelo Anthony and, you know, Boston. And unfortunately, he's a Laker fan, Rob, so we got to give him a little credit here. We can't talk too much. Lakers are kind of like not in a strong position either. And are they into the sweepstakes for Okafor? I mean, you know, there's a couple of things that are going on, man. I mean, on the Knicks, man, they decide, hey, shut it down. You get rid of another move, Amari Stoudemire getting released by the Knicks, getting picked up by Dallas. A lot of interesting things are going on, guys.
Well, you look at that Western
Conference
in particular. You look at the Western Conference in particular, where you got 10 teams with winning records, only 8 of them go to the playoffs. I mean, are you talking about it's going to be one of the most exciting playoffs when it comes around here? Any of those teams can beat the other, and so it's going to be scary. It's going to be a tough out. You know, I look at, you know, you could see quite a few 7-game series, just like we had last year in the playoffs, or five of the eight first-round series were seven-game series. We could see that again this year because these teams are not that far apart, especially when you're talking about the Western Conference in particular.
Yeah, I would agree. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, all these teams are just jockeying for position, and I think that's why you saw one of the busiest NBA trading deadlines we've ever seen today.
I would agree with that. But those top two seasons in the West, that's going to be, like you said, those seven-round series, seven-game series, that's going to be tough in that first round if you get OKC and San Antonio in the 7 or 8 spots. Who wants to be the top two seeds and have that be your first-round matchup? That's pretty tough.
Yes. And those are two teams that have been going to the Western Conference Finals a good bit the last few years, and they're going to be 7 and 8 seeds. Yeah, they're going to be tough outs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good deal, guys. Man, I like it, man. Good stuff. And that's why you play the games. You got to play the best teams, and you got to earn it, definitely in the West. I've always thought the West is one of the tougher divisions, but we'll keep an eye on that as always, man. We were making a lot of good progress here. I knew this was going to happen. So we're going to keep moving. And unfortunately, we always need to talk about, unfortunately, some things that happened in the show. And actually, something that kind of caught me off guard was the loss of Jerome Kersey. He took me back, man. This remember whenever I used to play a game called Lakers versus Celtics. You had, the classic squads. Remember that? And then, I remember, the Trailblazers, they were always, right in the mix, and they kind of got their little I know we always give them, a lot of grief for passing on Michael Jordan, but they actually rectified it, getting that old school squad of Clyde the Glide, Terry Porter, Buck Williams. They had Kersey running, Kevin Duckworth. Remember him? That was a good squad back in the days, man. Unfortunately, he passed at 52, man.
Cliff Robinson.
Just an amazing. Cliff Robinson, yeah, off the bench a little later on. If I would have asked you what college that he went to, where do you guys think he went to? Number one, you talk about just an amazing
Lindenwood.
Guy who made his career. Man. I see Robert was prepared, man. I knew it. Yeah, small Division II college. Just, an amazing career, man. I don't know if you guys want to kind of comment on that. Robert, you can kind of go ahead and start it off, sir.
Well, first I'm going to cut off. You tell me your age a little bit by that Lakers versus Celtics video game. What are you, about 45, 50, Andre? So you tell me your age a little bit about it.
Here we go.
But anyway, with Jerome Kersey, obviously was a great role player on those great Trailblazer team that were, as you mentioned, in contention on a regular basis, just couldn't quite get over the hump. They did make it to the 1990 NBA Finals against the Pistons, and they lost 4-1. They also made it against the Bulls, I want to say, in 92, and of course lost to Michael Jordan and the Bulls. So they did make it to the Finals. And they were in contention quite a few other years, getting to the Western Conference Finals and Western Conference Semifinals. So it was one of those teams that were good and that just couldn't get over the hump. But Jerome Kersey was a major player, solid defender, solid role player on those teams. And you hate to hear about the loss at such a young age of 52. Our condolences go out to his family as well as the Portland Trailblazers organization as well.
Definitely. JQ, any thoughts you have for that one, sir?
That was tough to hear, and not too much more to add on top of that, but he's just somebody else that belongs to that club that's been victimized. He can sit there and talk to, to Charles Barkley and Gary Payton and Sean Kemp and all them, because they would all have rings if it wasn't probably for Michael Jordan. So I that's what I remember those teams for, but like you said, you just named off everybody that was on the team. I mean, they had some really good teams. I think the coach was Rick Adelman.
Yeah.
That's what I remember the most about him. I know he moved around a little bit after that, but that was tough. I think it was a blood clot that got him. I think today, rough. Yeah, that's pretty rough. But yeah, he was solid. You got to have that kind of thing and that kind of piece of your team. And that's what I think we saw a lot today with the NBA trade deadlines. Everybody is solidifying that bench, and like you said, trying to brace for that stretch run.
Yeah, good calls. We talk about a good role player to somebody that not to talk about him, but Carmelo Anthony. They shut him down, the New York Knicks. I'm a jokester, so you guys know. Robert knows this, JQ, so I just want to talk about this. I'll kind of throw it to you first, but Carmelo shutting it down. And I think my conspiracy theory is that there's a frozen envelope somewhere. The Knicks are going to get Okafor somehow next to the 76ers, if you will. But they shut down, you know, Carmelo. They traded Amari Stoudemire, or they released him, excuse me. So the Knicks are going to tank, man. So I don't know. He played the All-Star game and all said, you know what, guys, I'm going to shut it down. That's just a little too coincidental for me. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, and I mean, well, first with Amari, I mean, Amari can't guard a chair right now, so he's only going to get limited minutes for Dallas. So, I mean, that's all well and good, but I mean, I can understand them buying him out, trying to clear the space, you know, for next year. But for Carmelo, that's just a joke. I think he missed 13 games in the first half of the season, and then you play 30 minutes in the All-Star game, and then you don't play a single minute after that, and you have surgery and you're done for 4 to 6 months. Really? Really? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah. Just hang out with Honey Cheerios all day.
Yeah, I feel the same way. To me, that just didn't make any sense. Why even play in an All-Star game? And, I mean, I think the league should have stepped in that situation. Are you going to tank the rest of the season? Put somebody else in an All-Star game that's really going to play. And, I mean, I didn't like that at all. If you can play in an All-Star game, you should be able to play the rest of the season. Or not, if you're not going to play the rest of the season, don't play in the All-Star game.
He's the only player not to play another single minute besides Magic Johnson after playing in the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's
but Magic Johnson found out. Yeah, I mean that to me is crazy. I don't. If you're a Knicks fan, how do you feel about Carmelo Anthony right now?
Oh my gosh.
I'm not a Knicks fan, but that's got to be hard.
Soft as Charmin tissue. You talking about somebody who can't guard a chair? Carmelo Anthony's another one.
you never
met anybody in the league he can guard yet.
Mm-mm. He's just going to outscore him.
Mm-hmm.
We are in rare form tonight, fellas. If you have Knicks fans, we apologize, America. Oh, man. It's a free-for-all.
They feel the same way. They know. They wore bags to the game.
Absolutely.
I mean, once you start wearing bags to the game, you don't really care anymore about the season, right? So I'm pretty sure they know, so they'll be okay.
Gotcha. Choke for Okafor. Let's kind of switch gears.
The
one
Lakers,
more time
the Knicks,
here.
And the 76ers, three popular NBA franchises are going to be trying to get them.
I know.
Send them to L.A.
Celtics, too.
Let's see here. Let's keep moving here. A little local flavor. I appreciate Robert showing some love. Just a quick note about this. We don't have to talk a lot of depth. Danny Ferry is going to come back. Well, he gets a lot of love from Andrew Young, which I think is definitely something as a good backing just because Hawks are playing well. Danny Ferry may in fact win Executive of the Year and the fact that he kind of set this team up, man. So I'm glad he's getting back. I think he should, you know, bring him back. I don't think he's a racist by any means. You know, just unfortunately got caught up in a tough situation. That's me. And, you know, you guys can take a quick comment on that if you guys want, for sure.
Well, I totally agree. When you look at the way the Atlanta Hawks are playing right now, you got to give Danny Ferry a lot of credit for the way this team was put together. They're playing well. Jeff T., Kyle Korver, Al Horford. And, I mean, and Paul Millsap having four players in the NBA All-Star game and playing team ball and modeling themselves after the Spurs and Greg Popovich. You got to give Danny Ferry a lot of credit. And I think he needs to be reinstated ASAP. And I think it was a great job by Andrew Young stepping up on his behalf, in my opinion.
Gotcha. JQ?
Okay, so I'm going to be devil's advocate here. Winning cures all ills. If they were struggling, it wouldn't even be a question that he would have been fired a long time ago. But he's going to win and should win Executive of the Year because he's put together a team with no superstars that have, the second-best record in the league and the best record in the East? I mean, but I have a little bit of a problem with that. They can do what they want because the franchise is for sale, and they may not want to put him out there with what he said to potential buyers. So if they don't bring him back, I can understand, but I still think he should win Executive of the Year because they're playing fabulous ball. So it's like it's hard for me. You know, it's a mixed bag with Danny Ferry. I mean, I think he said something that he wishes he could take back, and, you know, that's really big that Andrew Young stepped up for him. But I don't know if they weren't winning, if we would look at it with, you know, so rosy. I think we'd be lumping him into everybody else that said wrong things and we crucified him. So that's just me.
Wow, I like it, man. Hey, like I said, man, we always keep it real, keep it objective, man. So it's definitely express your feelings. That's what it's about. I'm just going to say, as a Hawks fan, man, let's get something, man. We haven't had anything that to be proud of, man. So, you know, maybe you're right. Winning cures a lot of it's like a good deodorant, right? It covers up some stuff, man. So, you know, that's my little 5 cents on that thing. We got about 9 minutes left in the show, guys. We're going to keep moving here. And I guess I want to talk briefly about, as we talk more college football here, I just want to say there was a great game between Duke and North Carolina. What a great moment before the game, as all the teams kind of gathered to give a lot of love to Dean Smith. That was just a classy moment. And then I know Rob, I'm sorry, he's a North Carolina fan. Man, looks like North Carolina gave up the game, and then Duke kind of came back, man. So just what a great game, even though both teams could have deserved to win that, but Duke kind of edges it out, man. So I'll let you kind of talk, Rob. And I'm sorry, I know you're a North Carolina fan, but that plays out, sir.
Well, you know, it was typical. First of all, it was typical Duke, North Carolina, a heck of a basketball game. You know, going down to the wire, you throw out the records when these two teams meet. Obviously, Duke is the better team, as much as it's hard for me to say that, and you got to give credit where credit is due. And their guard stepped up last night. When you look at the guard play for Duke, Tyus Jones and Quinn Cook dominated that game last night and got them in that game,
yes,
even more so than Okafor did. And I know Okafor is battling a mild injury. He's questionable this Saturday against Clemson. But, yeah, you got to give credit to Duke's and their guard play won that game last night. An incredible game once again. So give credit where credit is due, and congratulations to Duke.
JQ.
Yeah, I wouldn't add too much more to that. I mean, that was, you know, like I said, I sat here and watched it. You know, they was going head-to-head with Empire, so I came back in about the second half. But it was, you know, I saw the beginning of the first half, and I saw most of the second half. And like you said, without Tyus, they don't make it to overtime. And then Oklahoma kind of stepped up pretty big for them. But it's Duke, North Carolina. You know, like you said, they're going to have those games. And you just sit down and you just watch and get your popcorn ready, right? And that's what it is. So, you know, another classic. I think they said in the last 88 games, they're tied 44-44. You know, so
tied.
That's what you work.
That's unbelievable.
That's what
right
you're working
there
with. So, yeah. It's ridiculous. I think they said Duke is winning the last 80 meetings by like 8 points, you know, like 40-40 or something crazy. I was like, that's ridiculous, you know, to be that tight every single time. It's Duke, North Carolina.
You got to start sneaking in some of that Empire music in here, Andre.
I'll work on that for sure, guys. We got to keep the show. I love it. We'll work some in. But I got to say, what's the one show that without it was a diaper dandy? It was a diaper. You know, you didn't have Dickie V on the sidelines, man. That was a little off, man. But other than that, you know, it was fun to hear that, too.
Yeah,
so,
that was weird.
Anyway, yeah, a little weird, but, you know, it's one of those things. I do want to talk about, we talked about Dean Smith last week passing, and it seems like, man, you know, we're taking all the good coaches. And then another great coach, Jerry Tartanian, a little different from Dean Smith. Dean Smith is probably more of a class act. But Jerry Tartanian, man, you talk about somebody that had a stamp in history of college basketball. The Running Rebels, man, you know, and I'm dating myself again. Most of the youngsters probably remember Greg Anthony as an analyst, but not whenever he played with, you know, Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon. You know, you had, that was a
Anderson Hunt.
Anderson Hunt, the shooting
Anderson
guard,
Hunt,
yeah.
Man, the shooting guard. And then you had, they were crazy running up and down in Las Vegas. It was kind of like one of those things. I mean, I remember Stacey Augmon, the plaque that we drafted for the Hawks, man. So you talk about anything that was kind of Rebels, you were kind of, all right, you hated Duke, let's join to the Rebels and the Amoeba defense. What a great stigma in history, guys. Rob, you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even though he was involved in a lot, but what a great recruiter Jerry Tarkanian was to build up that UNLV program. Probably one of the best two-year runs of any school in the country, when they just destroyed Duke by 30 points in the national championship game, came back the next season, went undefeated, lost in the Final Four and upset the Duke. And that was arguably the greatest two-year run that we've seen in our time in college basketball. That was a heck of a basketball team. You mentioned the names already, Jerry Tarkanian and his style, the run-and-gun style. And Jaquan, you being a Lakers fan, I don't know if you know this, but Jerry Tarkanian was actually a candidate for the Lakers head coaching job in the 80s. He could have very well been that coach over Pat Riley for the Lakers.
Wow.
That's just a little history that a lot of people don't know. And but he was definitely he eventually wound up getting a job in the NBA with the Spurs, not quite going so well. But yeah, that 2-year run of UNLV was incredible. But he even had some great teams in the '80s, and you know, didn't quite win national championship. But I don't know if y'all remember the name Armand Gilliam, and played in the NBA as well.
Yeah.
He had some very good teams in the '80s that was very good as well. But the Grandma Ma years, that 2-year run was some of the best I've ever seen in college basketball.
And even if you step back a little farther in time than that, before he went to UNLV, he was at Fresno State. And they said, that John Wooden wouldn't even schedule him because he was, he was strong on his JUCO players and they was giving him fits. And he was like, okay, that might be a blight on the record. We're not going to play them. So that's one of the things that I read about him. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And then, I do remember him also being one of those, coaches that started using the press a whole lot. You got your Louisville's now, but he started pressing a lot more then before, Nolan Richardson, the 40 minutes of hell and that kind of stuff. He was a pioneer of that. So you got to give your hats off to Jerry Tarkanian. He was definitely a trailblazer.
Absolutely. That's it.
Love it, love it, love it. Man, good stuff, guys. I mean, that's what we talk about. I know we talk about a current team now in Kentucky that may be close to that, just being that dominant. I don't think they were as dominant like, the running Rebs. So good history lesson out there. Everyone remembers the amoeba defense. Man, you talk about just certain things that just kind of stuck. And Jerry Tarkanian was responsible for a lot of those guys getting drafted. Obviously Grandmama. We don't see players like that anymore, kind of Larry Johnson type players in the classic, man. But just a great, great, time to see something like that, man. Just this history changing, to say the least, too. Everyone is taking their breath. I love it. We got about 2 minutes and 48 seconds left. Man, we are flying through the show. I guess we always want to
time goes by fast when you're having fun.
I know, man. That's how we're having a good time.
Yes,
so, I know we got about 2 minutes. I'm going to throw out the numbers one more time, and then I'm going to let Rob kind of close it out. We do have what's called the OT portion, so we got about another 15 minutes of the show. I'm going to let Rob set the stage for that, too. Once again, 424-243-9519. I didn't get a chance to say that because we were just having a good conversation. But, Rob, you want to go ahead and set the stage for next week in the OT portion, sir?
Absolutely. We certainly appreciate everyone tuning in tonight on a Thursday night. We're going to try this Thursday night thing again next week, so you don't want to miss us on next Thursday night. We're going to be at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, that's going to be 5 p.m. For our friends in Germany, that's going to be Friday morning at 5 a.m. You don't want to miss next week's show. We're going to be recapping the NBA, of course, NFL Combine, college basketball, so you don't want to miss next week's show. And, of course, we have an OT portion tonight. Unfortunately, we can't get that to you live. Sometime tomorrow, you can click on the same link. OT portion is going to be strictly some draft talk, a little NFL as well. So for our NFL and draft fans, you don't want to miss this OT portion. You definitely want to tune in and see what we got your team doing in the draft. So definitely tune into that, and we'll see you next week as well. Good night, people.
Got about a minute, so I want to thank you for Jaquan joining us. You want to say anything, Jaquan, as we get ready to wrap up this edition of the live portion, sir?
Thank you, guys, for letting me hang in with you guys and talk a little sports. I appreciate it.
Oh, definitely. We appreciate the additional information, and definitely a great asset to the show.
Gotcha. Well, good.
Appreciate
like
it,
I said, so we always have some fun. So we got, unfortunately, I know Jaquan thinks so, we got another 50 minutes to talk, but that's what it's all about. And we definitely want to, we're big NFL fans, obviously. NFL is kind of king in our world. So we're going to kind of talk about the Combine is actually going on right now. We're getting ready. Everyone's descending.
Mm-hmm.
And the world on the street, obviously, we know that the Bucks are the number one pick. For those that are getting ready, we got about 20 seconds. We are going to kind of move right into the OT portion. But I do want to talk about, looks like Tampa Bay Bucks, they've got their eyes on a quarterback, right? Jameis Winston, Marcus mm-hmm. Mariota. One guy's got problems off the field, but solid on the field. One guy is pretty solid off the field, but questions on the field. So, Rob, what are you hearing as far as they're closely watching you and what's happening? And I don't know if you saw that picture of Jameis looking out of the way. I don't know, man. I don't know if that's like the strap or I don't know, man. I'm just saying, man. You know, I told you I'm a jokester, guys. So go ahead, Rob. Let's kind of take it off.
Well, I think the Bucs, I think they're still leaning toward Jameis Winston based on what he can do on the field. And they're believing that they can, that he's rectified his off-the-field issues, and they believe that the right coaching staff and Lovie Smith can direct him down the right path. On one hand, they were happy that he lost about 16 to 17 pounds. But on the other hand, they're still concerned about his still looking kind of flabby. I think they still want him to get in a little bit better shape than he is. But like I said, on the one hand, they're happy that he lost weight, but they're still a little concerned about the flabbiness of his body, if that makes any sense. But Marcus Mariota, the Eagles are going to try to do everything they possibly can to move up and get him in this draft. I'm not sure how much they're willing to give up to move up, so that's something that we can watch closely. But I think when it's all said and done, or at least as of right now, if the draft was tonight, you would see Tampa Bay drafting Winston over Mariota.
JQ, what do you got? What do you got on this issue, sir?
Yeah, I think this is all a sham. I think they already know they're going to draft Winston, and they are just doing this just, you know, to make it look good for Mariota. Jameis Winston is the most pro-ready on the field in the NFL system than any of the other quarterbacks. He went to Florida State. This is Central Florida. There's a huge fan base there. Derek Brooks has already come out and said, if you draft this guy, I will personally mentor him. This is a done deal.
Wow.
He's going to Tampa Bay. So I have no doubts that he's going to Tampa Bay unless somebody makes them a godfather offer for the number one pick. So if you switch to Mariota, that's tough for the Eagles to move up. They would almost have to include Foles in any deal with any team they want to move up with, because you can ask your Atlanta Falcons what it does to you to move up that far in the draft. They went and got Julio, and they gave up a lot of draft picks, and that hurt a lot of their offensive and defensive line depth, and I think that's the problems you see with Atlanta now. So I would caution Philadelphia not to try to do too much to go get him, because it's going to take a whole lot of ammunition to move up.
Once again, JQ, this may be your last on the show, man. No, I still love that. No, man, that was painful, man. Because every time we bring up
you're hitting
that,
hitting him in the gut. We're talking about the Falcons. You're hitting him in the gut. In the face, in the gut.
No, it's all good. You know, I'm totally joking. But no, you know, that's a great point, man. As far as, you know, we give up whenever you make a move like that. You got to think that you're one or two players away, right? If I'm going to make that drastic move. But, you know, Chip Kelly, he really
exactly.
does want Mariota. So we're kind of – I know we've been kind of joking about that, but who knows what's going to happen. There's going to be some type of movement. Hey, here's Nick Foles, Jets. You know, who knows what they may – okay, we'll talk to you. You know, you don't know what's going to happen, you know. And so, you know, it may take a combination of players or a team that may need a quarterback, but they may not want to wait for a project. That may be a good move for them, right? So – you know, I know Robert has been talking about that for a lot of time. So we'll keep an eye on that scenario. I agree, it's a lot. You wouldn't think that's going to happen, but there's been strange things that have happened in the NFL draft. And so, you know, all it takes is one team to fall in love with you, right? That's all it takes.
Eagles with Brent Hundley, too, in the second round. Watch, you know, if they can't get Mariota in the first. There's some interest there with Brent Hundley, quarterback from UCLA, the second round. Chip Kelly recruited him to Oregon, even though he decided to go to UCLA. They kind of think he can be a perfect fit in Chip Kelly's offense, too. So that's another one to watch as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, but Marcus knows it. Marcus knows it. That's the reason. There is such a smaller learning curve for him coming from college to NFL because, yeah. So that's why, you know, he's in there drooling like, you know, he's almost going ready to, you know, call the police on him and make up a story just so he'll follow to him. You know, he really wants Marcus, and I can understand that. I just caution giving up so much to go get him.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he's their first choice, yes.
Yeah.
We'll keep
but I hear you.
That
Brett is a good fallback.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to, like I said, we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll touch on the Rob, thank you for putting that NFL round two mock. Maybe we'll talk about that as well, too, if we get enough time. But, yeah, we're going to keep an eye on that situation, too. You know, like I said, I'm not putting anything past Chip Kelly, man. I'm just saying that, you know, I think he's going to try to make a strong push. And all it takes is one team to be like, here's Nick, you know, or whatever, and that'll happen, too, for sure.
yeah, mm-hmm. I think he's got to fall. I think Marcus Mariota's got to be available somewhere around the sixth pick in order for the Eagles to move up. I think it's going to be too much of a price to move into the top five. But I think if he's somehow still on a board somewhere around number six, you know, the Eagles can possibly move up. Whether it's a good deal or a bad deal, you know, that will yet to be, you know, we'll have to, you know, judge that down the road. But I think that's around the area where the Eagles are hoping he falls to for them to move up and make a deal.
And I would agree with that, but like Dre said, it only takes one team to fall in love with you, and I think what they're going to have to convince the Jets is, here's Nick Foles. You want Nick Foles. Take Nick Foles. We're going to give you Nick Foles in this first-round pick and maybe a second-round pick next year so we can swap from 20 to 6. That's their best bet.
He would be an upgrade for the Jets, no doubt about it.
I mean, I might be an upgrade for the Jets right now.
Oh, I love it. You know, they're probably putting some type of thing in Marcus Mariota saying, hey, they put some oregano in his bags or something like that, hoping that he drops. But, you know, we'll keep an eye on that. I'm totally joking, America. Real quick, and we got about 10 minutes or so. We may not get a chance, Rob, for the full mock draft, but I want to ask this question because I want to talk about Russell Wilson. But I do want to ask a question because we have different opinions on this as far as if you should throw at the combine, right? I think that, you know, it's one of those things where you got some of the agents like, you know, you shouldn't throw. You're already, you know, top position. You're already top pick. But where's the competition? Like, if I'm my quarterback, you know, maybe it'll help me to, you know, maybe work on a couple things or something. I don't know. What do you think about that, JQ? Do you think you should be throwing at the combine? Or you're like, nah, don't throw. Don't wick it anymore.
No.
I'll come back to you.
Yeah. I'm one of those people that think nah, not throw if you are a top pick. If you're Mariota or if you are Winston, then there's no reason for you to throw. You have all this tape of you playing these big games and making big things happen. The only thing you can do is fall right now if you are a top pick. If you're a mid-level pick and you're trying to move up and you need to impress some people, then I say go ahead and throw at the combine. But if I'm Winston, I'm going to wait to my pro day and throw to all the wide receivers I've been throwing to all year because we have our timing. And I'm out here just throwing to all the prospects at the combine. You know, I don't need to make a name for myself. I've already made it. So I'm going to throw my pro day, reinforce what you already know about me, and let it go that way. If I'm a mid pick, like, you know, Bryce Petty, he has to throw. You know, he can't say I'm not going to throw and wait to the Baylor pro day. He's got to throw. So it depends on who you are and where you fall in the draft to me.
Gotcha, Rob.
I totally agree with that. If you're in the top five, there's no need for you to throw at the combine. But here's the kicker. If there's two, in this particular case, you got two guys that's possibly going to go in the top five, top six in the draft. If one decides to throw, the other one has to throw as well. But I think if you're the only one that's in that top five, there's no need for you to throw. And I think what happened in this particular case, it looked like Mariota decided to throw. And so in that particular case, I think Winston has to as well. And
I don't think he does. I think Winston's going to Tampa. So I think Marcus has to throw because Marcus has the most questions about if he can translate that Oregon offense to another team besides Chip Kelly's. So I think he has to throw. For Winston, I don't think he has to throw. I think for Winston, he has to go nail the interviews. When they sit him down for those 15 minutes and they ask why he was yelling that crazy stuff in the FSU union and about his, you know, the rape case and all that stuff, that's where he has to win. That's where his focus should be, I think, and then worry about throwing at the pro day. For Mariota, he doesn't have those off-season things to worry about. He can just focus on throwing.
Very interesting. I love it. You know, I got to say is that Ryan Leaf, you know, wants to invite Marcus and Winston for a party afterwards. So oh, man, I love it, man.
I think Marcus Mariota's focus level is probably just a little bit more than Ryan Leaf when he came out.
What do you do with all the money you get drafted, Ryan Leaf? Let's go to a party. Yeah, that wasn't the right thing to say.
We're going to throw a party in Las Vegas, first thing he said.
that's the wrong thing to say to an NFL GM. Oh, man.
Well, we're going to draft Peyton Manning then.
Right.
I love it, man. All right.
So this dude has no sense.
We should have. Well, they should have known that. But anyway, I'm excited for the future. This is one of those things. Once again, that 1-2 battle. There's always seem to be one or two quarterbacks that people are kind of, you know, obviously going back and forth. And so we'll see how these guys' careers are going to progress. We'll talk about it more as the combine continues, as always. One guy that had a pretty interesting combine, he was a little short guy, drafted in the third round by the Seattle Seahawks. Totally took the NFL by storm. Russell Wilson, he came out and said he takes full responsibility for losing the Super Bowl. I'm a fan of Russell Wilson, right? You know, so I think that he's doing it right. I really don't think it's his fault. I mean, that's just a great play that was made. Unless he decided to go against his coach and say, let's run the ball, you know, that's noble from the step up. But I don't really think it's his fault. I mean, I don't know what else you can do. I mean, just a great play. That's how things come down. So I don't know if you guys want to comment that. I'm going to start with JQ this time. What do you think about that, sir?
I think that's just a franchise quarterback saying they're doing all the right things. That's really what it is. I'm not going to throw my coach under the bus. I'm not going to throw my offensive coordinator under the bus. I'm not going to throw my wide receiver under the bus. I'm going to take responsibility as a leader of this team and say, we lost the Super Bowl because of me. I'll take all the hate and come back better for it next year. I love him for that. That's a class act, and that's what you're supposed to do.
Love it. Rob Ford, what do you got to say on that, sir?
Well, I would agree with that, too. I think when you look at it, I think as a quarterback, you have to take that lead. You have to take responsibility for that. And I also agree with you, Andre. I don't think the game should all fall on his shoulders. I think coaching deserves a lot of that blame. It's easy to second-guess the call after the situation, but I think when you look at the stats from the season, it wasn't
no,
as bad as call. And when you look at it, it's easy to second-guess the call. Marshawn Lynch, 6 times in the regular season, carried the ball from the 1-yard line, only scored 1 time out of those 6. So when you look at those numbers, you can see why the Seahawks made that. And the Patriots, during the season, had a great goal line defense. And also, I'll tell you another thing that made Pete Carroll decide to throw in that situation. A lot of people don't remember this. Go back to his college days as head coach at USC in the national championship game against Texas.
Uh-oh.
He got 4
Uh-oh.
Down and 1. He gives the ball to Lindale White
Lindale.
And gets stuffed. And Texas goes on to win the national championship game. And so those are all those kind of things just kind of fall back. Obviously, it's easy to second guess. He should have gave the ball to Lynch. And, you know, I said that too. But I guess when you look at the grand scheme of things, you can see where Pete Carroll is. But I don't think it should totally fall on Russell Wilson, but I think he did. I think he said all the right things here. And I agree with you as well, Andre, the cornerback there, Malcolm, he just made an incredible play. I mean, incredible play. He really didn't really jump the route. He just got there right in time as the ball got there. And so I think that was an incredible defensive play as well.
Yeah, he was more physical to the ball, but this is why I say that. When you talk about Lindale White, that was 4th and 1. This was 2nd down and goal line, and you had a timeout. So for me, I mean, that was a great stat. I saw that too. The 6 times, only scoring 1 time. But given the way that dude runs, and it's going to take at least more than, you know, at least 2 people to knock him down, I'm going to have to give him the ball 1 time, call timeout, and then give Russell Wilson a pass throw option on 3rd, and then if you need it, 4th down. That's just me. I got to give my big guy the ball on the 1-yard line. So, but it's still real classy of him for Russell to take all the blame for.
Man, that was
absolutely
like 2 years ago that Pete Carroll was still talking about that play for Linda White. No, I'm just joking. It's all good. Oh, man, you guys have been fantastic. We are at the end. We got about 2 minutes once again for this. Rob, you want to set the stage for next week? As always, Jaquan, thank you for showing up, sir. We got to get ready to wrap this up, as always, man. Rob, go ahead and wrap this in the show, sir.
Once again, we're going to be back on Thursday night next week. We're going to try this again on Thursday. Once again, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaii. Once again, it's going to be Friday, 5 a.m. for our friends in Germany. Once again, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter. Tell us you like the show or you don't like us. Hit us up. Good night, people.
JQ, anything you want to say?
Just again, thanks for having me. I mean, that's a quick 45 minutes, man. This was enjoyable. Hope to do it again.
We will do it again.
Yeah,
it goes
by fast.
We
have fun.
Yeah, we got it. All right, guys. Have a good evening. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. I'm going to say Seacrest out, guys. This is a fun time. Have a great rest of your day tomorrow, and we'll talk soon.
Good night, brothers.
Good night.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Thanks for having me.